right, welcome back, everyone, and good morning. Happy Tuesday, Charlie Pack. As we are kicking off episode 35, we got to see each other in person in the beautiful state of California. It was so much fun at the MTSS conference, and we got to see some friends there also at the conference that were speakers, and it was such a wonderful event at the MTSS conference. And so, Charlie, what was your breakdown of that wonderful event?
Yeah, you know what? The people were just so engaged. I felt like the educators and the mental health professionals, the school counselors, everybody there, administrators, was just so tuned in on kickstarting the year. And they were just, they were just absorbing every single thing that I could tell them and the strategies. What about your sessions? And we did them together, by the way.
We did. First time ever, right? I mean, obviously we've done them online with webinars and whatnot, but for being in person, that was the first time me and you got to do one together. Yeah, my session was awesome. I mean, I think we talked about it last time, Charlie, is like the 3-hour sessions are really fun because you really get to do a deep dive onto the different topics. And so, yeah, my folks were taking notes and engaged. And I really wanted to bring something to the table today in regards to a question that they came with when I was specifically talking about the pushing model. But I think it can apply to a lot of things that our mental health teams are working through. But before we jump into that, how do you think the afternoon session went with the language of behavior? Are you like done with me? You're never going to present ever again because it's such a terrible experience?
That's impossible. No, seriously, how neat was it that we were able to, like, because we've done this before, even though it's virtual, but to play off what each other do and say, like, we're very in tune, I think, with each other. So there's always adjustments with the new sessions, but I just love what we do. And I think people are just captivated on the behavior solutions. Like, that's what people keep going back to is, how do I get behavior solutions? It just kind of boils down to that. Isn't that what you find too?
Oh my goodness. I mean, as we were asking questions, like what were the most difficult things of last year? And we do this with a lot of our educators that we work with. I mean, the first thing that comes up is student behavior. I mean, if it's not number one, it's number two. I mean, it's pretty high on the list. So I think everyone is just hungry for that information. And what a perfect time to start talking about that is the school year is about to begin. I know there's a ton of administrators. I know I just talked to a counselor the other day. They're back in session with their admin team. I know you just talked to a counselor. They're coming back too. So, I mean, it's just kind of the landscape of education right now where people are getting back in the building and starting to make plans as far as professional development and getting ready for the students to come back to the building.
Yes. Yeah, so we've got the virtual summit coming up September 16th and 17th. It's called School Behavior Solutions, everybody. So stay tuned for that because we're going to drop the free registration link. It's totally free. We had tons of people there last year and we've added an extra day so we can accommodate more speakers. And we're really just going to interview them so we can dive into their strategies for you. So stay tuned for that. Josh, let's talk about the push-in model because that's what was brought up in your session and some pushback from people and how to get started and all of that. But they're working on that right now. Like admin teams are working on how do we reduce behaviors and office referrals and all of that. So let's dive into that.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant question. And so this person came up and asked specifically about just when providing that strategy to the campus, how is it received? And so I'll start there. I know like for the push-in model, we've talked about like the logistics of that and kind of what that looks like on a campus in a previous episode. So if you're listening now, this is your first time, definitely go back and take a listen because it's something that we talk about all the time because it does work. We've seen evidence of the time in ISS dramatically drop and more time in the instructional environment. So obviously Charlie and I are huge believers in this strategy, but any strategy with the mental health team trying to provide that to the campus, I think what teachers are really looking for are solutions to their problems. And so the push-in model was constructed based on the fact that teachers didn't feel like they had enough time. And second of all, they didn't have the opportunity to have one-on-one conversations with their students without an audience, which is really hard to do in a classroom. So when you present it to what they're gaining from the strategy, I mean, it would be crazy to say no, right? And so presenting it, obviously it's change. It's something different. So there's going to be some apprehension, and that's just human nature, of trying to question and to kind of figure out what it looks like for me individually and how I can use that as an opportunity to benefit my class. And so usually when it's presented, and Charlie, we've seen this firsthand, is like, it's more of like people are quiet because they're processing. They're trying to understand it because it's not something that is normal in schools. And even people that have tried to implement it, sometimes they get hung up on the process of like, what does this even look like, and need our support in doing so. And so with that, I think if you have a somber or a quiet group or staff, then it's just them trying to work through the process. Now, once we're in the midst of it, there may be some pushback in the sense of, I have a student that I'm angry with. They're at a heightened state. I'm at a heightened state. And so in a push and model, if two people are really charged, it's going to not be a very productive conversation one-on-one. And so in that, that's where the coaching comes in with the mental health team, with the admin team, with whoever's, you know, trying to assist in that moment, because sometimes it does require a break with the student and the teacher to then come back and have that where everyone's kind of got their cool heads and they've regulated themselves to a point where they feel like they can have that conversation. Because unfortunately, sometimes the push and model, whoever tries to relieve the teacher to have that conversation, isn't in tune with what's going on. And then it goes sideways in the hallway. And then it's escalated to a much higher level that wasn't intended. The whole idea is that you're trying to de-escalate, you're trying to have a productive conversation, you're trying to understand what's going on behind the behavior with the intent of having the student go back into class. But if a teacher's emotionally charged or whoever it is that the student's with, then obviously the first thinking is like, I just want this kid gone. I just want him out. So like, if that is how you're feeling in the moment, we obviously know how that conversation is going to go. Charlie, what are your thoughts with that?
Well, yeah, as you're talking about that, it just reminds me that it's got to be a comprehensive response. It's not just one strategy. The strategy is about how do we equip teachers to feel like they're regulated when they're, you know, typically not, and how do we get them the strategies and the perspective of what that language of behavior is. And that's why the tenet one and two are so important. So people who don't understand the push-in model, if you haven't listened to that episode, then it's really about like that third piece of how do we respond with intention, and how do we do this in a way that the teacher feels important, the kid feels important, and we're problem solving. Like, we're problem solving with a team approach. So if you can imagine, I'm a teacher, I'm in my classroom, there's a kid who I'm trying a few strategies with, but they're getting escalated. And I feel like I need to talk with them one-on-one, but I've got 29 other kids here or more. And so what do I do? Well, we work with the team. It's already established. It's pre-established. And I call the office and I say, I don't know, did you guys have a certain code word? Like, what did you guys do? How did you indicate?
Yeah, we had the teachers call the front office. Our secretary that was there, she knew the strategy. She was in the training. She was a part of our team. They would just say, we need to push in at, and then they would just tell their room number. We had a schedule constructed so that all of the people that were available and trained for the push-in was on a spreadsheet for her to identify. And everyone that was on the push-in team had a radio. So she would then radio, push-in is needed at whatever room. Yeah. And she knew, like, typically we had anywhere between 3 and 6 people available during that slot to go in and find, you know, that room and to be there as soon as possible. So whoever it was that was typically nearby would just radio and be like, I've got it, you know, I'm nearby. And then we would go into the room. And it was, again, it's for those who don't know it, I mean, a typical push-in is anywhere between 3 and 5 minutes. It's not meant to be a very long duration of time. So teachers understood, like, if I'm using this strategy, then I'll just set my kids up to do something for, you know, a very short period of time, go take care of this, come back. And, you know, as the year went on, obviously the more you do it, it was seamless. It really didn't disrupt the learning environment at all and still allow the teacher to do what was needed in regards to having a really productive conversation with a kid.
Yeah. So that just means we have to set it up. Like, so the planning stage is really important. Right now, a lot of people are doing that. And so right now it's very important. So the planning stage is important. The setup, the communication piece is super important too. Because if there's a breakdown with the communication, then there's going to be a breakdown in the system. And then we're going to feel like we're not supported or it's not effective. The worst thing that can happen is that we try something, and because we had a breakdown in communication, it was ineffective, and then we lose hope. We don't want teachers losing hope. We want them to know that they are supported and have a really great strategy to help them connect back with that kid so that we can prevent that, you know, those residual behaviors that show up. We want to prevent that. And so when we have that one-to-one connection outside of the space in front of that audience of other students, that can be really effective. So I can see where there's pushback, but also let's get it right. Let's get everybody on board saying, listen, we're going to have some hiccups here, but let's really nail this down, practice. And in just a month or two, let's just get really solid in this approach and let's try it out. I really think it is a great solution, at least part of it, right? It's part of the toolkit. And that's the other piece, again, like what I was saying before, is we've got to equip teachers with the self-management, like stress management skills, the how do we stay regulated? How do we have that language of behavior approach where we're understanding what the kid's trying to say to us? And by the way, for leaders, we take that approach too with the teachers. Like, what language are they expressing to you to say, this is what's really going on with me and I need this? So we're creating better advocates. We're creating better informants with this approach and stronger connections in the building.
Yeah. I think the communication, Charlie, you're talking through that. And obviously we're setting up professional development for the beginning of the school year and trying to implement various things, right? But I also would say, you know, for this mental health team or whatever team is constructing this, that you have checkpoints throughout the year too. It's just simple reminders. And I think too, like I was just talking with our friend Darren Pepper the other day, and we were talking about just language in general and that how definitions are skewed between person to person. And sometimes as leaders, we just assume that we all have the same construct in our mind as far as what that word means. Even the team needs to really define what behaviors equate a push in, because sometimes, you know, we talk about just real simple things like low level disrespect or disruption, and then we don't go any further than that. And then there's a question as far as, okay, well, this behavior is something different. Does that go into this bucket of push in? Allowing teachers to understand that there's a whole variety of things that could happen in the classroom where this strategy can be implemented. It's not just for one type of behavior, or, you know, like you were talking about, like actually having a forum and opening it up to staff to say, like, what went well, what didn't, like, what are some things we can change, right? Because all students are different, all classrooms, all schools, as we know, have a very different life. And so it may take some tweaking and things, but you're not going to know that unless you have opportunities for that feedback to be received from the team to then make the appropriate shifts that are needed as the school year goes on.
Yeah. And that's why the consultations are so important. The follow-up, we can't just say, here's the PD, here's the model, here's what you'll do. It's try it, come back to us. Let's work together on this, or at least with your team, at least with your team, if it's not us. Yeah. And that case consultation is so valuable so that we can follow up with it and then keep tweaking it. That's why support ongoingly is just so effective.
So true. Well, I don't know if you're ready, but I'd love to do our new segment, Behind the Banter. All right. So if you're new to the show, this is where we get to know those behind the microphone. So that's, of course, Charlie Peck and myself. And I've got a question that I think is kind of in line with our topic today. So, Charlie, what's the weirdest thing you've ever confiscated from a student?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. I'll tell you, I taught a class and I don't call it home ec. Like, we called it family studies.
Yeah.
And so one kid was taking a knife across the room in the kitchen and acting like he was stabbing another kid.
Oh no.
And so I didn't typically yell, but I did. And I said, put that down, get it, you know, give that, just whatever it was. That was the weirdest. That was the one that just pops in my head.
Just shocked you in the moment.
Did. What about you, Josh?
The one that comes to mind is, it's weird because it was like a stuffed animal unicorn. But when you press the unicorn, its eyes shifted down to look angry, and then its mouth opened, and there was just teeth, like very sharp teeth.
Okay.
And okay, so I laughed because it was brought to the front office by a teacher, and I looked at the plush toy. I'm like, what's wrong with that? You know, like, why is this being confiscated? And then they pushed on it, and it, of course, shifted, and it startled me because it went from this sweet looking thing to very angry and vicious. And then I was like, I need that. So then the whole day I just ran around campus with it, and I did it to teachers, you know, pushed on it and scared them. So I probably wasn't a very good model for my students, but I found great fun in confiscating that unicorn.
That's hilarious. I have a really creepy visual in my head. So thanks for the nightmare.
No, I'm going to send you, I have a video actually that I'm going to send you of this toy, because I had to then video it and bring it home to my kids to show them the video of what I confiscated and played with all day. So.
Well, now we're going to have to post that on YouTube too. So, ready, everybody.
Get ready. You're going to see the angry unicorn. Awesome. Well, I think that's a great place to wrap this up. I'm going to throw on the banners. First off, the summit registration. So we talked about it a little bit already. Last episode in this one, Charlie and I are super excited about this because we're going to have some phenomenal folks joining us for this event, September 16th and 17th. So make sure if you're not following us on social media, you do so. Also in the show notes, we're going to have the summit registration, which is free. So you'll want to click on that link. You'll also want to copy and send it to your staff, send it to friends, send it to anyone you think is going to find value in this event. But last year, Charlie, we had a ton of people all over the world joining us for this event, and we got a ton of great feedback. So we're excited to extend this even further into a two-day event for this school year. Let's see here. I'm going to throw up thrivingeducator.org is Charlie's website. It's a beautiful space for you to find amazing resources and more information about Charlie. So make sure that you're heading over there. And then of course for mine, it's joshtamper.com. And so make sure you're heading there. We've got free resources. We've got our newsletter sign up. You can do that. We've got the podcast. Of course, we've got also the services and things that we were talking about today on there. So make sure you're heading over there. Charlie, do you have any words of wisdom to close our episode out?
I'm going to keep it simple. Be willing to try something new, communicate it well, and lean on each other and others if needed for support.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.